My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am here. Oh, wow, it is 2:22 as I start to record this. I'm here, for those of you who are listening to this podcast live when I'm posting it, it has been almost 2 weeks since my last podcast episode. If I was going to skip this week, this is being posted on a Thursday afternoon, early evening, depending on your time zone, state, U.S., state-wise. If I would have skipped this week altogether, it would have been 2 weeks, but I did not have an episode last week. And I have been really trying to stick to the commitment of doing video podcasts. However, here I am doing audio. And today's episode is about three, well, it might end up only being two tips with a few extras blended in, but this episode is supposed to be about, or is going to be about, tips for you to keep in mind, supportive tips for you to keep in mind as you deal with holiday overwhelm. But before I get into that, can I just say how excited I was to come to record this podcast just with my mic? I have been recording this podcast, specifically the Black Girls Heal podcast, for 4, almost 5 years, and maybe longer. Gosh, I've been recording this podcast for years. And y'all know that this started off with just me and my Yeti mic. Just me getting bundled up and cozied up in my bed and PJs and just teaching and sharing from my heart and teaching what I see that the community needs. And it just being this really intimate experience. And I feel like for the last several months, I've gotten away from that. Not even just once I started doing the video podcasts. I think just in general, I think I started to look at recording these podcasts as like, okay, got to keep on schedule, got to do this. You know, what's something that I can talk about this week that I feel like is pertinent? And it kind of lost the organic love that I've always taught this podcast with. Like the love was still there, but it wasn't like the main focus. And so coming back to this mic and it being audio only just feels so right. It just feels really good. And so I'll have to think about it, and I might kind of share a little bit more about what I'm thinking that might mean for our podcast in the future or the videos in the future. But for right now, I was like, I do not want to skip another week because it's not on video, because I don't have the capacity to be on video right now, because there are so many moving parts because of the holidays. And with me working on and finishing the book, the How to Pick Your Partner's book for love addicts is now available. It is available on Amazon, and I'll talk about that a little bit too today. But with me managing all the things, I haven't had the capacity to, you know, record podcast episodes ahead of time. And I was like, I think it's more important for me to show up, for me to continue just to build trust for those of you who look forward to this podcast and who need this support. So that's what we're doing. So with that said, let's go ahead and jump on in. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
So like I said, today's podcast episode is going to be about supportive tips for us to use or keep in mind with holiday overwhelm. I don't know about you,
but me and mine and the people around me are really going through it this holiday season for a lot of reasons. But this holiday season, it feels like so many of us are stuck on off, that there's so much that we feel like we can't catch up on, whether or not it's our obligations, the things that we want to do, our hobbies. Y'all know that two of my favorite hobbies are pickleball and swing dancing. And it's been hard for me to even do these things that bring me joy, just really not having the energy for them. And even when I've made myself go there, the normal thing that happens, like once you show up, like it all just kind of clicks into place. And that thing where you wish you didn't have to go, but then when you go, you end up having a good time. That hasn't happened. In fact, one night I ended up leaving early because I was like, this just isn't for me right now. So people being behind on their tasks, kind of losing interest or not really having the interest to do the things that usually bring them joy, feeling like there are so many people that we have to attend to and take care of. And then also taking care of ourselves is just, it feels like a lot because it is a lot. And it feels like this holiday season, it's hitting a little bit more than it has in the past. And so if you're listening to this and you're like, everything's great with me, that doesn't apply. Please consider sending this podcast episode maybe to someone who might need it, or continue listening, because I feel like there's always a gem for everyone. Even if the main topic doesn't really connect to where you are, hopefully there is something in here for today's episode that you can take and just leave the rest where it is. But yeah, that sense of overwhelm is kind of running rampant around all of us. And the normal tips and tricks and tools and all the things, like I said, just show up, you know, be positive, all that stuff does not seem like it is really working like it used to. So I wanted to give what is hopefully either a cosign, some things you were already intuitively feeling it's the best for you to do. Maybe it's an echo of what your therapist has already told you to do, or maybe it gives you permission to make it one of the alternatives. It may not be something that you decide to do to help you with overwhelm this holiday season, but for you to know that it's an option. It's okay for you to think outside the box and figure out what will work for you over the next couple of weeks. So the first tip that I'm going to give, we're going to jump right in today, it might be a shorter episode. Famous last words, anytime I say that, it ends up still being a 45, 50 minute episode, but I'm hoping for 20, 25 minutes because of all the overwhelm that I've kind of described at the beginning. But my first tip for you is to let your little be your best. I'm going to say that again. My first tip for you to deal with your holiday overwhelm is to let your little be your best. I think that many of us, even with the physical fatigue, the mental fatigue, the emotional stress that many of us are feeling, again, at least me and mine and those around me that I see and I support and I help and that I'm friends with and that I love, even with the heaviness that all of us are feeling, we are still trying to push through to do the right thing, to do the right thing for other people, but really doing the right thing for ourselves. I think those of us who have been in the healing world for a long time, we have moved past this place of codependency and we're doing this to make other people happy. Like, we've learned that when we show up for ourselves, it is healing, even when it's hard, right? So it seems like this time right now, when everything feels so physically heavy, when everything feels so mentally heavy, and everything feels so emotionally stressful and heavy, that now is a time more than any for us to really try to press into our self-care tools, to really try to make sure we stick to our regimens and our routines, to make sure that we show up, right? That we're praying all the time and we're doing all this stuff. And I'll talk about spiritual hiding and stuff in the next tip, but we're trying to still try to stay on, to try to stay afloat. And, you know, I was talking to a friend yesterday, making myself be social. That time it was good. And I'm so proud of myself, y'all. I committed to going to do crab drinks with her. Went, was there for an hour. I told her, okay, I think I'm done. And she was like, okay. Like, she respected it and it was okay. And I went home and I was home by 7:30 and I was able to do whatever it is that I needed to do last night, you know, and really take care of myself. But in our conversation, we were talking about our happy places, and her happy place is the beach. And she was saying how one of the things that sometimes worries her friends about her is she loves to swim. She loves to be in the ocean, and she will swim out very far into the ocean past where you're supposed to swim. And I asked her, well, what about riptides? Like, are you really good at being able to tell when a riptide is out there? And for those of you who don't know, I am not a swimmer, so I'm not going to explain this very well. But basically, it is an event that happens in the ocean near the coast, where it may look like the water is calm, but the way that the water is moving at the coast, like where the beach is, like you could walk into a riptide. The way that the current is moving, if you swim into a riptide, it will take you miles out into the ocean. It is where so many people end up passing away, even people who are very strong swimmers. And it is so dangerous if you don't know what it is and what you're looking for. So I asked her about this and she said, well, yeah, but I've learned the trick of dealing with riptides. And so she tells me that the trick with a riptide is that you don't try to fight it. You don't try to fight the current to get back to the shore. The more you fight it, the further out pushes you into the ocean, the more dangerous it is. She said, what you do to work through a riptide is you just float on your back, and you let it take you where it wants to take you. And it will ebb and flow, and it will eventually bring you right back to the coast. It will bring you back to a place on land where you can walk and get out of the water if you just lay down and go with what is happening. And so I say that because I think, like I was saying before, is so many of us are trying to get back to these lifelines, these things that have legitimately saved our lives, saved our mental health, maybe saved our physical life and our relationships with other people, all the things that are good to do, the journaling, the working out, the talking with people, the getting outside, the doing all this stuff. Like, we're trying to stick to these routines, but it's only... And we're not able to, like, we're not even able to really grab on to this life jacket. We're not even able to grab onto this floaty. And so we're still like flopping in the water and we're drowning. And what I want to suggest to you is maybe it's okay for you to stop reaching. Maybe it's okay to accept wherever you are, the little that you have to give, if anything at all, and letting that be your best, to not feel regretful, or to not feel ashamed or embarrassed, or to not feel disappointed in yourself that you are like letting yourself down or letting other people down or living in the shoulds of what you should be able to do and how it should look like. I really want to encourage you to let whatever you have to give or not give, let that be okay. Truly let it be okay. And rest in that, like, give yourself a break, give yourself the freedom to be like, this holiday season right now, I don't have anything to give to anyone. And that's okay. I don't have the energy to get up and do my 6-step morning routine like I used to do. I don't have the energy to call everyone back. I pride myself in being the best friend to all the people that I treat my chosen family like family. But right now, I really can't muster holding space for other people, even myself. Now, what if that was okay? What if we didn't take that as a sign? Because I know some of us are very vigilant to make sure we don't go back to how we used to do before. I would have so many people who I've worked with, people who've been in the recovery school, former clients, whatever. And one of their biggest concerns is after they've worked so hard to get through their breakthroughs, they're so afraid that they're being avoided. So they'll tell me things that sound like natural burnout, but they sound like boundaries that they need to enforce, or it sounds like their intuition that they're not used to paying attention to, and they're like, I know that sounds avoidant, or I know it sounds like I'm just trying to avoid or distract myself. And I have to tell them, no, that's not what that sounds how it sounds like. It sounds like your spirit, sounds like your body is trying to tell you something. They're trying to tell you that it's tired and it needs a break, and this is all that it can do. And so what if you met your soul? What if you met yourself with compassion? What if you met yourself with understanding and forgiveness? And what if you held yourself and let yourself be not enough right now? What if you were able to allow yourself to be not enough because, ironically, that circles around to you actually learning that you are enough? You actually learn that in this weakened state, in this fatigued state, in this tired state, in this poor, broken state, you are enough and you've always been enough. And it's never been dependent on what you could do, what you didn't do, and how much you showed up as a healed and loved woman, and how much you showed up as available and a securely attached woman, and how much you showed up as a financially responsible woman, or like whatever labels you have used to the best mother, the best partner, the best girlfriend, the mother of the group. No, even when you are not acting in those titles, you are still worthy. And you're still deserving, and you're deserving of taking a rest. So that is the first tip that I have for you this holiday season, is to let your little be your best, and to not look in disdain at your best. Like, not to, if I were to imagine us all, if I were imagining in front of me holding your hand out with your best in it, to not look at me sheepishly and be like, well, this is all I got. No. If anything, like, you might not even have the energy to lift your arms up right now. Like, if you just got a shrug, if you don't even have the energy for a shrug, if you're just like, well, and if you don't even have the energy to say, well, and if you're just like looking at me like, you're lucky I'm here, like, that is enough. That is enough. Okay. So that is tip number one. Tip number two that I'm going to give you all is to dealing with your holiday overwhelm is, I think, and I hope hopefully this connects with everyone here for enough people, and that this doesn't offend the people who may not be ready for it. But I think we need to connect even more to our spiritual practices right now to feel the relief and to feel grounded. Now, when I say spiritual practices, I do not only mean things that are spiritual in the definition of spirituality, like many of us understand, whether or not it's talking to your higher power, talking to spirit, those folks who may be into manifestation or prayers or your ancestors or talking to your guides or whatever it may be. Yeah, that is absolutely a part of it for so many of us. But I just think energetically, so much is changing for so many of us. I feel like so many of us are evolving and changing into different people. And what we need and what's going to work for us is permanently changing. We think it may just be temporary. We may think, okay, it's just because of the holidays. We may think, okay, there's this transition that happened a couple of months ago, and it's just kind of hard for me to get my feet up under me. I started this new relationship. I broke up with this relationship. My kids entered school. This person went to the hospital. We may think that it's these life circumstances, but really, we're entering a new stage. We're entering a new place in our life. And so, what used to work for us doesn't work for us. And I think many of us are more sensitive, to things than we may have been before. And that's okay. Your healing journey does not mean The resilience that you get in your healing journey does not always mean that the way it manifests is that you are now this emotional and spiritual Teflon, right? To where you can handle more things and you have more wisdom, and things don't affect you as much. Like, yeah, I think with growth and wisdom, some of that happens. But I think also the more you get connected to yourself, the more you settle into yourself and you settle into not having to be everything and do everything and, you know, be the bodyguard for yourself all the time. And, you know, you're allowing other people and other places to support you. That sensitivity gets a little bit more potent. It gets a little bit more raw. And it's part of the beauty of this. It's actually beautiful to be able to be open and to be sensitive and to be to be fragile. You know, what a gift to be able to erase all the parts of yourself that made it so that you always had to be on, to now you get to just be a baby. Like, it's just to be someone, an entity that gets to be loved on, in purity and innocence and care. Hopefully, if we have curated the people around us who will treat us with the love that we deserve. All that to say, if we are entering a place where we are more sensitive and we're entering into a new place where we may need different things, we all need to tap into the other part of ourselves. So we may be very good at tapping into our mental and logical mind about what we may want. We may have become very adept into tapping into our emotions and talking about how do we feel when we, you know, when we're sad and when we're happy and when we're angry and, you know, whatever else it may be. But when I'm talking about the spiritual connection, I'm talking about things that are more connected to your gut instinct. When you are fully connected to your body, feet planted on the ground, when you are, and the full word for that is embodiment, we are connected to that. And the truth that you are part of something bigger in this world, and again, that may contradict some listeners here, but I think for the most part, I think I have all listeners who have some connection to that, whatever it is that you call it or don't call it. That part of us is the part that's developing. And that when we have the emotional and the mental and the physical, we got our exercise routine and everything down, that spiritual stuff is what's really going to help us stay grounded too. And it's what's going to help us feel connected and complete.
We hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
So we already know that we're living in a world where there are so many things that can interrupt our health and hormones. With there being thousands of hormone disruptors in our environment, with everything from the food we eat to the clothes we wear, it is even more important that we keep our bodies regulated internally. When we can help our natural hormone processes, like the symptoms of our monthly cycles, perimenopause, and menopause, find relief and ease with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony's formula is made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Using science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, they help the body adapt to any stressor and hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Some symptoms may include PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, and loss of interest in intimacy. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. Happy Mammoths, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier and make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today. So I think tapping into what does that look like for you? So like I said, there's already kind of well-known spiritual practices, prayer, journaling, you know, candle work, connecting to your guides, rituals, ancestor work, you know, all those things. I also think that it can also look like inner child work, connecting to that sweet spirit that you were born with and learning how to talk to her, connect to her, love her, let her rest. I do think, even though a good part of this episode was talking about getting out of the to-do list, for someone like me, this might be just me, but I'm going to say it because I know it's not me. Just me. I know because I've talked to a few people offline. This isn't everyone's, but I know it is for me. That I really think 2025 is going to be the year that I have done all the things when it comes to mastering my mental health mastering my emotions, mastering my relationships, my friendships, my romantic partnerships, my family relationships, and my boundaries. And the ways that I've neglected my body, it's time. The ways that I've put aside getting in touch with what my body physically needs and loving on it and the temple that I've been given. So whether that does mean physical exercise, whether that means the sugar addiction that I've talked about for years throughout this podcast, and sometimes I talk about it jokingly, and sometimes I'm very serious, and I talk about like how hard it is to when you use sugar as a coping mechanism. I've talked about how when I was doing my grad degree, for those of you who don't know, I'm a therapist by trade, a mental health therapist by trade. My degree is in marriage and family therapy. One of the classes that I had was about addictions. And so we all had to choose our substances. And so I just, you know, the teacher mentioned it and I just thought, oh, that'd be funny. You know, let's do sugar. Like what could sugar be? And the way that processed sugar is made in this country, y'all, the fact that it is legal is insane. The ways that it is destroying our bodies, causing inflammation, is connected to so many of our physical health concerns, to our mental brain fog and fatigue, to our reproductive health, like our heart health. It is insane. And the addictive nature of it rivals that of cocaine, which is why so many of us know that so many of y'all already know that sugar is bad for you. And you're going to keep eating what you're eating right now. You know, I know this. And I got York peppermint patties yesterday. But that's what an addiction is, right? And so I've been able to break it before and get to a place where my body didn't need it. And I felt so good. But just maintaining that lifestyle is hard. But hard can't be an excuse anymore. So for me, I will be approaching my connection with my body not as I want to look this way and I want my body to look this way, but no, this is like a spiritual thing for me. I would imagine that the things that I'm going to face as I work through unlearning some of the ways that I've neglected my body and my physical health and how I show up for myself, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff that's connected to my trauma. Things that I thought a girl like me is deserving of and what she's not deserving of. I'm sure that there's going to be ways that I've learned how to sabotage myself, and whether or not it's fear of success or fear of failure, that's going to come up. That's time for me to work through this. I know that there's going to be times that is going to be about me learning how to trust and connect to spirit, connect to God, connect to myself when I am wanting to engage in whatever it is that I want to engage in, whether or not it's sugar or something else, just to have an escape and learning how to turn inward or turn to other things instead of always going to that. I don't plan on, just to be clear, I don't plan on doing if I can never have sugar again, at least at the time I'm recording this, but I do plan on kind of taking this seriously. So for me, it's my body and healing my body and my connection with my body, how I feel about my physical form right now, how I feel with being seen. Y'all have heard me talk about the fear of being seen on here multiple times. Sometimes I'm teaching it for y'all and sometimes I'm talking about my own personal journey with that. So feeling confident in being seen in my body and its form fully, you know, like all this is deep. Deep, intimate work. And I, in one way that this is going to show up for me right now that I invested in doing today, time-wise, is mirror work. So mirror work is when you have a set of affirmations, you look yourself in the mirror, and you say out loud to yourself the thing, the thoughts, the beliefs that you are instilling inside of yourself to reprogram the negative beliefs and negative thoughts and lies that you have been told by other people, that you've adopted for yourself, the lies that you have created or deduced from what has happened to you, and start to, because your thoughts are just beliefs. the same thought that you have, you probably that is a negative thought about you. You probably have 4 to 5 good friends and family members, maybe your partner, who's like, Tasha, you know that's not true about you. This is the truth about you. And you will brush it off because you have decided that what you think about yourself is the truth. And everybody else, yeah, they might think it, but really, this is really what it is. And so who's right? The person who's right is the person you decide to be right. And so if there are negative beliefs that I have, that you have, and you're the one who's in charge of changing them, then it's up to you to change them and not wait for a person or a thing or a situation to come and combat that, because it won't ever be enough. The insecurities will still be there. It'll just be shifted to look different. So mirror work, me looking at myself in the mirror, me looking at my eye, looking at myself in my eyes, connecting to my spirit, connecting to my soul, taking myself fully in and speaking love to myself is one way that I'm really going to be focused on healing in 2025. And so part of connecting this all to the topic of today, of being able to deal with holiday overwhelm, is me saying aloud to myself, Sheena, you are exactly where you're supposed to be. I'm so proud of you for where you are. It's okay for you to rest. I'm so proud of you that you are always doing your best at all times. I'm so proud of you because you are a good mom. You are a good healer. You are a good whatever. And that was going to be tip number 3. So I guess I can title this 3 supportive tips to help you with holiday overwhelm. And the 3rd tip is to please acknowledge the good things about yourself and tell them to yourself. The way that my love avoidance works for me, which, by the way, one of the things that I've been working on that will be coming out in the new year, I'll probably talk about it here maybe, but for the most part, I'm going to probably share it more on social media, maybe on YouTube as well in the community posts, and maybe the email list that will be coming back and on TikTok. But I'm starting a love avoidance rehab. So some of the tools that I know are best for folks who are very focused on healing their love avoidance, I'm pulling those. I'm teaching some of the lessons that I've taught before, but I'm teaching them through the lens of someone who only wants to work through their love avoidance and not just their love addiction as well, but that's purely what they want to focus on. So I'm pulling that out, and that should be coming out around the New Year's. So and you can learn about that by going to blackgirlsheal.org/avoidance. And you can pre-enroll right now while it is discounted. But the way that my love avoidance with myself works, because all these intimacy disorders are really about not just your relationship with other people, but your relationship with yourself. The way that my love avoidance with myself works is that hypervigilance doesn't allow me to celebrate myself. That hypervigilance, that always looking for the next thing, always looking for the next threat, always looking for the next way that I could be disappointed by other people. I'm also looking for ways that I can be disappointed in myself. But the way that it shows up, the way that I talk it through, is it looks like, well, I'm really interested in my personal development and being a better person and growing and growth mindset and all that stuff. And all that stuff is true. But if it was actually balanced, then I would, every time I do something great, every time I'm celebrated, every time I get a letter from someone who tells me the great things that I've done, every time someone tells me how beautiful I am or how much they've changed their life or how much whatever, I would be better at being able to sit in it. I would be better, and I don't brush it off, but I don't share my accomplishments all the time, because I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, thank you. And here's where else I can grow. Like I rush through it. So maybe that does mean it's hard for me to sit in it. I'll have to think about that offline. I'm not going to cut that out because that's real and raw. And that might be where some of you are as well. So hopefully me vocalizing that out loud, if that fits for you, it helps you work through that. But I bring up this point number 3, being able to celebrate yourself, because if we're constantly, especially right now, we're feeling so overwhelmed and like feeling like, you know, very little things are going right, or feeling like you can't get right or something, if we're missing out on all the ways that we are killing it, all the ways that we're winning, all the ways that we are being blessed by other people, all the ways that we are being a blessing to other people, we will be just covered in this cloud. We will be shrouded in like this cloud of despair, just waiting for it to lift, waiting for a ray of light, not understanding that this shroud that we're under has all these holes with light that is pouring through. And we just need to look to that instead of looking at the dark spaces and the dark corners. We have light surrounding us everywhere. And so what would it look like to, in these times, to say, wow, I am so loved by these people who are texting me and checking up on me. Like, I haven't been able to respond to them, but damn, I am loved. I am so loved, right? Like, I don't have the energy to get up and do the things that I used to do, but thank God I have community and I have places that I can go if and when I'm ready to go. I am so blessed. Thank God for that, right? I don't have the energy to, you know, decorate the house for my kids like I used to every year because of the things that are going on. But man, I am so grateful for the traditions that we have built. And look at my kids. When my kids come and remind me about the traditions and what they want to see, it's because they're doing it because they believe in me. Wow, I must be such a great parent to build children who believe in me, who know that they can depend on me. They haven't given up on asking me for things because they know that mama comes through. They know that parent comes through. Wow, I've done such a great job and I'm so proud of myself, right? Like, can we take these situations that could be used to make us feel less than, let it be evidence of how good we are, how good enough we are, how we are exactly where we're supposed to be, even when we have little or nothing at all to give, that we are everything and we showing up and us being ourselves is enough. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. So, I low-key wish that I was able to release this on Tuesday morning, but I think those of you who have been a part of these kind of impromptu podcast episodes, you know that sometimes this is the process. Like, I need to go through the dips and the hips and the what's the hip, y'all? The dips and the trips and like the hurdles to get to what this episode is supposed to be. So I hope this hits us at the right time on 12/12/2024. Wow, like all the numbers are just working. So this is going to stop around 36 minutes, 37 minutes once we put the intro on there, but it still wasn't 45. So still shorter compared to others, but I will be back next week. I will be talking about the How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts book. I am so excited, y'all. This book, I am so proud of this book and the way that this is going to change all of your lives. If you have enjoyed any single episode, and this includes if you're single, if you are dating, if you are married, if you are in a situationship, if you are someone who's like, I don't ever want to be in a partnership ever again, this book, How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts, is giving you an incredible scale of how to determine who is available and unavailable in your life. And all of us need that. If you live in any location with people, which is all of us, you need this. You also need this because I'm going to show you how to see if you're available to yourself and if you're available to the people in your relationships. I've also given you my patented scale. Patented is probably not the right word, but I've developed a scale for you to literally be able to assess with numbers, give a point system to know who are the people who are best for you to connect to as best friends, lovers, and partners. Who are the people who are better just as good friends? Who are the people that is better for you to keep as a casual acquaintance? Who are the people who are better for you to recognize that they are strangers That you actually don't know them at all. Who are the people that are extremely dangerous and critically dangerous? There's different levels to the danger too, right? Like that's in there. I'm teaching you how to ask for what you want from folks, whether or not they are available or unavailable. We all need that. We all got a little bit of people who struggle with connecting to us and listening to us and people who are ready to be there for us, but we may not know how to ask. That's in there. If you're someone who struggles with being available, I'll give you a four-step method on how to become available. Y'all, this book, I am more and more proud of every day. And I just hope that I do a good job talking about it and getting it in front of people. Because this is a book that I feel like every single person, even if you don't identify as a love addict, I feel like every single person needs this book. So you can get the book or learn about the book by going to howtopickpartners.com. And of course, you can just go straight to Amazon and purchase it, How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts by Sheena Lachey. And it should be on at Barnes and Nobles and some other sellers by Christmas. That's part of Overwhelm, y'all. I was trying to get it up there and Mercury retrograde and all the things. Which, hey, if y'all want me to do an episode for with how I use astrology for my personal healing, let me know. I did like a little mini one for my Business of Healing podcast, and then I took it down because I was like, I don't know if this is actually on topic and if people would actually care. But if there are any astrology girlies out there who want me to talk about how I personally use it and what placements I like to focus on, let me know. And if you're not an astrology person, but you're like, hey, I want to hear things. You can let me know that as well. You can put a comment in the chat wherever it is that you listen to this, or come to our website, or send a DM and let us know. All right, 40 minutes, y'all. Okay. I love you all. If you want to check out the love avoidance rehab and again enroll with a significant discount for my love avoidance, blackgirlsheal.org/avoidance with a CE. Avoidance. But I'll also make it avoidance with a TS in case folks hear it differently. But that's it. I'm sending you all so much love, and I will see you in the next episode. As always, take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.